Shallan leapt down from the wagon and walked towards the man, leaving Bluth sitting as a silent lump. Deserters stepped away from her, wearing ripped and dirty clothing, with grizzled, unkempt hair and faces that hadn't seen a razor or a washcloth in ages. And yet, by torchlight, their weapons gleamed without a spot of rust, and their breastplates were polished to the point where they reflected her features. The woman she glimpsed in one breastplate looked too tall, too stately, to be Shallan herself. Instead of tangled hair, she had flowing red locks. Instead of refugee rags, she wore a gown woven with golden embroidery. She had not been wearing a necklace before, and when she raised her hands towards the leader of the band, her chipped fingernails appeared perfectly manicured. "Brightness," the man had said as she stepped up to him. "We aren't what you think we are."
"No," Shallan replied. "You aren't what you think yourselves to be."
Heroes of presents Stormpod, a Stormlight Archive podcast. Book 2, Words of Radiance. This is just a quick spoiler warning for chapters 19, 20, and 21 of Words of Radiance. If you haven't caught up on your reading yet and you are a little bit behind, don't get spoiled. Please go back and read. If you have skipped an episode or missed one, please make sure that you're not getting spoiled, because these are pretty good chapters for Shallan. We wouldn't want you getting spoiled. But if you're exactly where you're supposed to be, enjoy the episode. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Q, and, you know, he thinks of himself as a lowly deserter, but I see him as a knight. It's Jack! What's up?
How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
We get to go back in time.
The power of love.
We get to go back in time today with chapter 19.
Yeah, I know. Great,
safe
right?
Safe things. I know. 5.5 years ago, mm-hmm. I thought this was really cool that I hadn't really flipped ahead to see that we're going back in time with this, but we are. Well, it's a flashback.
This is our second flashback with Shallan. The first one was super mm-hmm. short. This one's super short
super
as well.
Short.
Mm-hmm. The last one mm-hmm. was a kind of a cryptic one where Shallan was like in a room and there were corpses and she was feeling
yeah.
a certain way about a certain something. So this is mm-hmm. like a little bit after that. So yeah,
we get to expand on all this a
yeah.
little bit. And there's some interesting things going on here.
Yeah. Her dad is yeah. a little bit of a dick.
Well, it's, I think no, well, if I know anything about Mr. Sanderson,
mm-hmm.
there's probably more to the story there.
Are you trying to say that Shallan's father is like a marble banister?
A marble banister?
Mm-hmm. Like he might have been wood soul cast into marble and you can
still see
the wood
mean.
Grain.
Yeah, he could be, that's right.
He's
right,
a marble
right,
banister?
Right. Yes, he could be a marble banister.
Okay. I kind of like saying the words marble banister together.
Marble banister?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a...
It rolls.
It does roll off the tongue. Maybe it's a band name or an album title or something.
Marble banister. Well, anyways.
Yeah.
Shallan's new dress. So she's got this new dress. Mm-hmm. It's softer than any she's ever had before. And I like at the very first paragraph here, it says, it touched her skin like a comforting breeze.
Hey, we know something about breezes and wind.
We get the breezes right off the cuff. She starts to think about it, her mother, and then her mind kind of wanders off. Mm-hmm. And right here, she's trying to block something. She's trying to block thinking about her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little weird. It says
so she's
left...
in a dreary... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. It says the left cuff... clip closed over her hand. She was finally old enough now to cover her safe hand. So
right.
It's like she's, you know, it's maybe a sign of becoming a woman. in the Vedan culture, yeah. The Alethi culture?
Yeah. Yeah, her mind went still like a candle suddenly snuffed. She stopped thinking. She leans back in her chair, legs tucked underneath of her, hands in her lap. The dreary stone dining chamber that she was in is bustling with activity. Known as Dav... Well, that's her last name. Now, is it Devar?
Devar, I think, yeah.
Shallan Devar. So Devar Manor, and they're preparing for guests.
Mm-hmm.
So, and her father wanted the place immaculate. So there's all these people bustling around, including these maids.
Mm-hmm.
And the maids are like, well, poor thing was in the room when it happened. Hasn't spoken a word in 5 months. The master killed his own wife and her lover, but don't let it... And then it sort of trails off in the text there. Shallan.
Yeah. So this is twice in like one paragraph here. She like starts to like feel something or like say about to reveal to us the reader something and then doesn't do it. It almost feels like a Where's Dunny moment, but that doesn't feel quite right. Like that, you know, normally a Dunny moment is when one character is about to reveal something to another character and then they stop themselves or change the topic or, oh look, shit, where did Dunny go? Like
yeah,
that's
let's,
kind of,
let,
yeah.
This is blocking. I think this is Shallan protecting herself.
Yeah, we almost need a new term for
event.
Something like this. For like someone who doesn't want to deal with their trauma. Maybe we call that
right.
Being human.
Sure.
Yeah, because that's... we all do that, I think.
Her dress is a vibrant blue.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sitting... So she's trying to block all this stuff out. There's maids in and out. There's six other maids coming in and out with brown gloves covering their safe hands,
mm-hmm.
scrubbing the floors, polishing the furniture, parchment or carting in a few more tables. Shallan caught mention of her name again, and she listens to these maids. The maids apparently thought that because she didn't speak, she didn't hear either. So... She's kind of thinking that they know that she doesn't speak right now,
right.
But they're also speaking as if she's not in the room.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like she's invisible and she's like, yeah. But I'm not invisible. I'm here like, and I can hear you.
Yeah. Dumbasses. I can hear you. I'm like right here. You know what I mean?
So there's one little clue that I think could be a thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I underlined it.
Okay.
In the text, it says, perhaps she wasn't real. That would be nice.
Like perhaps she wasn't real. Like Shallan,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, because there appears to be a transient kind of a theme to this whole storyline.
Right.
Like there's the, and I think it even mentions in another chapter that we deal with Shallan when she's speaking with, I think it's one of the deserters and it's about how.
Votha?
Or it could be Votha or maybe it's regarding Bluth after he passes. And she makes a mention like, you know, I hope you're fighting for the Almighty.
Right, right. It's you doubling know? Down
so,
on her religious views, right? Like,
right. But it's this transient idea, this idea that you have this existence and then there's another.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's another purpose for your, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I just find that that line could be a small little clue that Sanderson just dropped in there to...
I like
make
that.
Things interesting.
I like that a lot because, you know, she's clearly dealing with something. And
mm-hmm.
if she's not thinking about the stuff she's dealing with, then maybe she doesn't need to think about herself either. And she's saying it would be nice if she wasn't real because then she wouldn't have to deal with any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I mean, that would be the more like visceral level, like on mm-hmm. how to see it. Right.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's totally.
But
totally
you're saying there's a layer here where it's like
I'm saying that maybe there could be something to that. Like maybe she wasn't real. Like maybe this is not what's really going on.
Maybe this is all fake. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean it's not. I don't think I'm pulling that totally out of the air. I think
no.
I think with the whole Knights Radiant and you know the gods playing a role and, you know, Parshman needing to get away from the gods and the Tranquilin halls mm-hmm, and this whole mm-hmm. thing. Like, I don't know. It just speaks to me of like, I don't know, like a multiple realms.
I kind of like where your brain's going here because we know from present Shallan that she's mm-hmm. playing with illusions right now. So this idea that her life could be an illusion, could be not real, is kind of thematic, right?
Yeah.
It's nice. I like that.
Or like you said, it could just be wishful thinking, or just to protect herself from this horrible event that's taken place.
It seems like a lot of what Shallan does is to protect herself. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the door slams open. It's her brother, Nan Halloran. He's tall, muscular, square-chinned, older brother. And they do make mention of Tet Balat, which is her other brother, who had also reached adulthood. Halloran takes a look around, approaches Shallan. He's got a small bundle under his arm, and he says, "Hello, Shallan. Here to supervise?" And then it says, "Father did not like her being where she could not be watched." That was the next line after that.
Right.
The maids are kind of scrambling out of the way. But I underline that because that's a little concerning. So here she is in this, surrounded by all the maids, getting this area, ready. And Father didn't like her being where she could not be watched. So that's an interesting thing to me, because why does he need to watch her, first of all?
Right.
And why is she in a place where she knows her father is not watching? Like, it's like she's putting herself, I don't want to be watched.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's hiding from her father.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He seems to be the kind of guy you want to hide from, though, to be honest.
He does. "I brought you something," Halloran says. "I ordered it from you in Northgrip." And he takes out a leather satchel. And she takes it hesitantly, and I like the way they describe her older brother as Halloran? How do you say that?
I say
Halloran.
Halloran. But,
Halloran.
But we've said this on the podcast before, I like
Halloran. I like to hear all the different ways to say it, and then I'll just make my
decision. It's like what I've said before about the fan art. I like to see what everyone's interpretations of the fan art are, right? Like, everyone has a different, like, someone on Facebook posted the other day saying, like, what do you see when you read the books? What do you see these characters as? And everyone started talking to him, or maybe I don't think it was Facebook, but it was on Reddit. Everyone started saying, these characters are supposed to look like this, and he's like, but he responded, that's not what I asked. When you read it for the first time, before you know what Brandon had in mind, what are you seeing when you read it? So
what do you see?
I like that a lot.
Yeah me too. Me too. So he brings her something, which is great. It's the leather satchel that we've come to know. Halloran's grin was so wide, it practically glowed. It was hard to frown with him around. And it says here in the text, when he was around, she could almost pretend. And then her mind went blank. Yeah. So I like that her brother is this beam of light in her life. Where she can almost, just with him around, I can almost
pretend to be happy,
get this darkness away from me. Like, so that's kind of cool. I really liked imagining him in this little scene.
He definitely gets, like, right off the bat, gets this, like, really comforting and great intro. Like, we instantly like him because of how he makes her feel, right?
Right. And also with the words that he has for his father.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we like that too.
So
yeah.
he says, "Shallan." She untied the satchel, and inside was a sheaf of drawing paper, the thick kind, the expensive kind, and charcoal pencils. "I've missed your drawings," Halloran says. "I think you could be very good, Shallan. You should practice more."
Yay.
She ran the... I know, right? This is so cool. So she starts to sketch. It had been too long. "I need you to come back, Shallan," Halloran says. He hunches over. The pencil is scratching the paper. "Shallan," he questions again. No words from her, just drawing. "I'm going to be away a lot in the next few years," Halloran said. I need you to watch the others for me. I'm worried about Balat. I gave him a new axe hound pup and, well, he wasn't kind to it." I think that's a clue too.
Do you remember? You might not remember, but I'm going to remind you. One of the interludes, one of the very first interludes we read in Way of Kings, was about Balat, and he liked to pull the legs off of Kremlings.
Right.
He was very violent.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's expanding on this. Yeah, so that disturbed me. So I put a little asterisk beside that because I thought that's a hint at his character.
Blot is not a very nice kid.
No. Okay. I was kind of worried because if you're starting to hurt animals, of course, it typically progresses.
Right, right. It's kind of a sign, right?
Yeah. Wasn't kind to it. And he says, "You need to be strong, Shallan, for them." The maids had grown quiet, as if she weren't doing the drawing, as if it were coming up out of the page. So this is her getting into this this art. So I like the way this was described, as if it were coming up out of the page, the charcoal seeping out of the texture, like blood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like that description of the drawing.
It's you can almost see it.
It's almost like it's in reverse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that
it's not coming from the charcoal to the paper.
Right.
She's pulling it out of the paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really neat.
It's like what they say about sculptors and all that they see the sculpture inside the marble. They see it inside and they just have to take the excess away. Yeah. It's really cool.
But what she's drawing disturbs her older brother. Bodies face down on the floor. He grabs the paper and crumbles it. And Shallan is startled, and he says, I like what he says back to her, though.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Draw plants and animals, safe things." We get the title there.
Mm-hmm.
Shallan, don't dwell on what happened. Tears are trickling down her cheeks at this point. He says, we can't have vengeance yet. Balat can't lead the house, and I must be away. Soon, though.
That's quite the loaded statement here.
Yeah, like he wants, we can't have vengeance yet.
Right.
Meaning we will have it, and I will be delivering it when I'm back.
Right, and we can't have it yet because I'm gone and Balat can't lead the house.
Right.
So we have to deal with what we have right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Door slams open and its father, a big man, bearded, in careless defiance of fashion. His Vedan clothing eschewed the modern designs, but instead Father was wearing a shirt-like garment of silk called an ulatu. Oh, that was an info dump. An ulatu and a tight shirt with a rope over the top. No mink pelts, as his grandfather's would have worn. He towered over Helleran.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because I'm already imagining Helleran as this, you know.
Right.
Tall,
this big, comforting,
robust, robust, but gentle person. But then the father enters and he's wider and taller. It's
right.
Just,
well, then
it's kind of
we would have to assume that Helleran is his son, which means he could still only be, 19
right.
or something, right?
Like, yeah, that's true.
He's still maybe a boy, right?
Yeah. Could have a few more inches to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Father, this I did not like. It said, there were some parchmen, of course, working around the kitchens in the area where they are. Father liked parchmen. They did not talk back.
Oh, my God.
I don't like that.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, they did not talk back, though. Well, try plants, Father. How about that?
Yeah.
I got word that you told the stable to prepare one of my carriages, Helleran. Father bellows. I'll not have you gallivanting off again. There are more important things in this world, Helleran says. More important even than you and your crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Do not speak to me. Do not speak that way to me, he says. I am your father. You are a murderer, Helleran says calmly.
I want to point out here,
He says that calmly.
Yeah, the maids are scurrying to the side of the room, trying to stay
they're
out of the
scrambling.
Way.
They're
scrambling.
Yeah, like, they want to. I know.
Yeah, it's like animals that are trying to hide from something scary, you know?
Yeah. You are a murderer.
Not that the maids are animals. I don't mean to suggest that. I just mean that they're spooked right now. Yeah.
Yeah, they're spooked. Yeah.
Yeah.
How dare you? You think I can't have you imprisoned because you're my heir? You think I... Something formed in Helleran's hand. A line of mist that coalesced into a silvery steel. A blade some 6 feet long, curved and thick. With the side that wasn't sharp rising into a shape like burning flames, or perhaps ripples of water. It had a gemstone set at the pommel, and as light reflected off the metal, the ridges seemed to move. Helleran was a shardbearer. This is so cool. I love it.
It's so visual.
It's awesome. Stormfather. Okay, this is interesting. So he's producing this blade, which is so interesting and so I wasn't expecting it.
Summoning a shard blade never loses its cool. Like, every time it happens, it's as cool as the first time. It really is.
And you thought the lightsaber couldn't be outdone?
Yeah, well, come on now.
Check out this dripping
with condensation and stuff. It's just so cool.
Yeah, like the mist. Like,
yeah, it's so awesome.
It's a very, very interesting idea. I love
it.
Okay, so, but it's the father's reaction here that's interesting. At least I'm interpreting these words from the previous sentence as his father's thoughts. How? When? Father cuts off, pulling up short. Helleran hopped down from the low dais that then leveled the shard blade at his father, the point touching his father's chest. Mm-hmm. So he's pointing. That's so intimidating.
It is.
Helleran says, "You are a vile corruption upon this house. I should shove this through your chest. To do so would be a mercy." Helleran, the passion seemed to have bled from father, like the color from his face, which had gone stark white. "You don't know what you think you know. Your mother..." "I will not listen to your lies," Helleran interrupts. So interesting that he says, "You don't know what you think you know."
Right.
See, that's the clue. There's more to it. Now, it could be that there's not more to it. It could be that. But my suspicion is that there is more to it, much like the Dalinar story and the...
Yep.
"I will not listen to you."
Much like most of my theories.
I just think, okay, I got my guard up. It's just I feel the entire book is an onion. There's more layers.
I feel like I get of this image of you, like, huddled in a corner, like, wrapped in a blanket, holding the book, like, looking around you, completely paranoid all the time. Brandon's not going to get me this time.
Yeah, I'll fully admit, like, when I'm doing my reading and my thinking about this, I am largely in a state of duress or you know, like I'm completely stressed. I mean, stressed out, but then there's such relief too, because there's these moments that you're just like, "Oh, that was so great," and then the tension goes. But when it gets back to, like, trying to piece it together and interpret it,
right,
it's kind of like putting together a puzzle,
right?
And you're just hoping and praying you didn't miss any pieces at the end.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's too funny, dude. Like, the fact that this thing that we did started, these books are supposed to give you joy, and you're like on the verge of panicking over it. It's so funny.
I'm starting to get more gray hair because of this experience. This is amazing. In fact, I went for a jog with my son the other day, walking. I went for this big walk in this nature trail, and took my son with me, and he just looks up at me and he says, "You know you're getting more gray hair on the side, like right there." And I'm like, oh, gee, thanks, son. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for pointing it out. I've never seen a mirror before.
Yeah. "Why don't you give me a nice paper cut and pour lemon juice on it?" Okay, so this is... I think it's interesting that he says that, "You don't know what you think you know, Helleran."
Mm-hmm.
"And I will not listen to your lies." And he
rotates his wrist,
twisting the sword, pointing still at his father's. And then he says, "So easy. Like, this would be so easy right now. I just have to put it through your chest."
And then Shallan speaks up.
And
Shallan
is the one who breaks her 5-month silence. Yes. Yeah. He says, "No."
Or she whispers, she says, "Please." It, like, very, very delicate, like, to the point where she almost doesn't even say it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like almost like I read this and it feels like it's a thought poking through her lips kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
"No."
And then, but he catches it. He says, "You speak now to defend him?" And he laughs, a wild bark of noise. Father sits down in the dining chair. His face is still pale. And he literally is saying this now. It's in quotations. He says, "How? A shard blade? Where?" "But no, it's different. Your new friends, they trust you with this wealth? We have an important work to do. I think that's an interesting way to say that.
Yeah.
Helleran responds, "I will tell you of it someday, sister. It is good to hear your voice again before I leave." "Don't go," she whispers. The words felt like gauze in her mouth. Mm-hmm. It had been months since she'd last spoken. I must. Please do some of your drawings for me while I'm gone. Of fanciful things, of brighter days. Can you do that? She nods. Farewell, father, Helleran says, turning and striding from the room. Try not to ruin too much while I'm gone. I will come back periodically to check. His voice echoed in the hallway outside as he left.
A little bit of a threat Lord, there, eh?
Totally. Bright Lord D'Var stood roaring. A few maids left in the room fled mm-hmm. out the side door into the gardens. Shallan shrank back, horrified, as her father picked up his chair and slammed it into the wall. He kicked over a small dining table, then took the chairs one at a time and smashed them into the floor with repeated brutal blows. Mm-hmm. Breathing deeply, he turned his eyes on her. This, I thought, was such, like, predatory.
Oh, yeah.
Like this is brutal. I can't, like, in some ways, I'm shocked that Helleran would leave her alone.
Like everyone left her alone.
No
the maids,
sense.
Too. You're right.
Shallan whimpered.
This might be a little bit of an rage. Oversight in the writing a little bit, because no one should have left her alone in that
maybe.
Room.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, like, you know. Shallan whimpered at the... So this is the last paragraph of the chapter. Shallan whimpered at the rage, the lack of humanity in his eyes. The lack of humanity. Mm-hmm. As they focused on her, the life returned to them. That's interesting. Life returned to his eyes.
Right.
When he looked at her. Mm-hmm. Father dropped a broken chair and turned his back toward her, as if ashamed, before fleeing the room. So he leaves her. He doesn't attack her.
No.
He's enraged. He's
by
enraged.
The brother, by Helleran. He's enraged by Helleran. And then when he sees Shallan,
right.
he's ashamed for having flipped out and then flees because he's probably embarrassed
right.
and ashamed that he flipped out. It's complicated shit going on here, man.
Maybe more than just that he got angry in front of her.
Right. There's definitely right. some subtext there for sure.
I didn't get an alternative title because as I was flipping through, I almost chose fanciful things, which is basically safe things.
Yeah,
as,
it's the same thing.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I arrived at the same conclusion, so
yeah.
I didn't get an alternate title.
I would have liked the chapter title of Satchel because it has such a meaning
yeah,
to us,
yeah.
which she yeah. lost. She lost her satchel. Right in the mm-hmm. in the sinking, mm-hmm. but like, we see where it came from. So, yeah, nice little chapter, a nice little flashback. We get to meet the brother. We get to meet the dad. We get to meet a bunch of terrified maids.
Terrified highlight for me for sure is him summoning the blade.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for me, I think the highlight is that Helleran in this small moment gave her. Something that clearly is going to
yeah.
help her, the drawing,
yeah,
but also actually. Is really like kind of a, if we're watching the movie Inside Out, this is like a, one of those like main memory moments where like her whole personality is based after this, these
right.
drawings now, right? She's going to start drawing fanciful things, safe things like plants and animals. And then she becomes
yeah.
a scholar from that sprouts up into being a scholar. So.
Right.
It's really cool.
I love the fact that he confronts his father and is very direct.
Yeah.
You know, you are a murderer.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, most sons don't necessarily possess the, I guess,
the guts.
Wherewithal or the bravery.
Well,
yeah, the courage to stand up, especially to a figure who's so imposing.
Right.
I mean, he's an imposing figure.
Mm-hmm.
He's not only your father, but... also larger than you.
And an angry person, clearly.
Right.
But, you know, I think,
so
that,
for him,
I think that all sons would have more
you know
courage
what?
If they had shard blades, to be honest.
So this is what I was just about to say, is perhaps some of that courage comes from what he can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think so.
Great chapter.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Next. Chapter 20.
Mm-hmm. The Coldness of Clarity. This is a hell of a chapter
mm-hmm.
here, dude. This is a really amazing chapter. I love this so much.
So we start off with a little stanza.
Mm-hmm.
Art form applied for beauty and hue. One yearns for the songs it creates. Most misunderstood by the artist, it's true. Come to the spren, to foundation's fates.
Stanza, the 90th stanza on the same song of listing.
Mm-hmm. I love this because this kind of informs us that Eshenai's experiment of like making her soldiers paint bowls of fruit and vases of flowers is not for like nothing. Like she's actually trying to get them to get this form out, this art form.
Right.
And at first it was like, you know, we read that part and we made jokes about it and how ugly the fruit looked and everything. It was all just shades of brown. But like the point of it is to do this. So there's actually like, you know, some real basis for her experiment, right?
Well, is it suggesting here in the stanza that the art, that the art form is bringing about the spren? Like it's bringing them to you, like certainly the creation spren.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's and I only say that because if the spren are directly or intrinsically linked to the Almighty or to the gods, if that's a possibility,
yeah,
then what do gods do typically?
Right.
The most interesting thing I find about the Bible is that it starts out with God created, like those two words.
Right.
He didn't sit down and relax, or, and I don't say he, but because I think it's he or an, I'm just
archaic
saying God.
Things.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's
a good point, because it does say that one yearns for the songs it creates, most misunderstood by the artist is true, come the spren to foundation's fate. So it does imply a little bit that the art itself
brings forth the spren.
Bring forth spren to, because it's almost like a muse. It's like it's a trap.
Yeah, yeah.
They're attracted to the beauty of the art. Yeah,
right.
Cool. I like
and
that.
Of course, in creation is one of the most powerful things that I think a god can do. They, it's what they do. Mm-hmm. They create. They create worlds, realms, peoples, you know, or just even maybe the possibility for such things to occur.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Right. Yeah. But it's a lot like creating art. It's a lot like, Anyway, okay, so we're back to Shallan, which I thought was really cool. We get the flashback, and then it's like, bam, bam. It's like a double hit of Shallan.
Yeah.
This was really great.
Yeah, it's really great. We have to jump around a lot, but these three chapters worked out perfectly because we get a, you know, like a Shallan back flashback, and then a meteor middle chapter, and then a nice, like, denouement chapter for her. It's like a trio of Shallan.
Jump up and get down.
Jump up and get down.
Because we normally jump around. Okay. So Shallan is, this chapter was very cool.
Yeah.
Caravan is, so they're nearing the source of the smoke. So last, when we left the caravan and her and Tablak Evan, they're looking ahead and they see the smoke, but the worry and the concern is, look, what is it?
Right.
Are we dealing with the possibility of a large caravan or... is it another group of bandits?
Right.
Well, it turns out it's both.
Right. Yeah, that's
the
thing, right?
An interesting way to answer that.
It wasn't an either or, right? Like, that's...
Right, yeah. It wasn't an either or. It was a third option.
Right.
It was both,
right.
Is the truth, which I thought was great. So they're approaching. This is total scouting. You're rolling your stealth check.
Yep.
You're trying to get close enough to see like what's over this ridge.
Yeah, Bluth has shown some skills here.
Yeah, absolutely. Jumps down from the wagon, jogs forward, takes off his hat, his too fine hat.
I love it. It's so funny.
Takes his too fine hat off, then makes his way up the hillside to peek over. So Shallan is there too, and they see three caravan wagons that are smoldering quietly, and the signs of a battle litters the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Fallen arrows, a group of corpses in a pile. They weren't dressed like bandits, but like honest caravan workers. These are the others that are there.
Yeah.
Five more wagons were clustered on the far side of the camp. Some were scorched, but they all looked functional and still laden with goods.
Yeah.
Armed men and women were tending the wounds. They appeared to be guards. So then she concludes, and I like the way this was put, they had been attacked, but they had survived.
Right.
Kellek's breath, Tavlakev says, back, get back, before they see.
Yeah.
And Bluth is like, what? But it's another caravan, as we hoped. Yes, and they needn't know we are here,
right,
says Tavlakev. They might want to speak to us, and that could slow us. Look, he points backward towards the deserters.
Mm-hmm.
The deserters are actually getting closer. They're on the move.
I like his plan here a little bit, because he's thinking that
you know, if we...
It's so selfish.
It is, for sure.
It is just the worst.
But like we do, let's throw it into it like a D&D way. Like, if you're playing like a kind of a true neutral character, and you're a rogue, you're thinking, let's get the fuck out of here. These deserters will attack this bigger caravan, and while they're looting them and they're killing them and fighting, we can just skip the fuck out of here, and we're out. Like,
right.
You know, it's a good plan, but Shallan is...
it's not a lawful... You're right. Shallan is not a lawful good position.
Yeah. And Shallan is the lawful character, so she's like, no, we got to stay and help everybody. Like, there's a different... There's a third option. It's not just... Right? It's not just caravan or bandits. There's a third option here.
I don't know. That's... I guess so, but I'm not. I can't identify with Tavlakev's position. So
absolutely not. He's not a very good person. But
I can't.
But it's not a bad plan.
The 30 or so men were soldiers. Now this is them referring to the deserters, as Bluth had reported. But they didn't fly a banner or a uniform, but they looked well equipped.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shallan says, "We need to go down there and ask the other caravan for help." Tavlakev says, no, we need to flee. The bandits will see this richer but weakened group and will fall upon them instead of us. And you think they won't chase us after that, Shallan says? With our tracks so easily visible, you think that they won't run us down in the following days? There should be a high storm tonight, Tavlakev said. It might cover our tracks, blowing away the shells of the plants we crush. Unlikely. Shallan says, if we stand with this new caravan, we can add our little strength to theirs. We can hold it. Bluth holds up a hand suddenly and says, a noise. And then suddenly, figures appear.
Right.
A figure stands up that was hidden in the shadows. I really like this. This is very, very D&D.
Yeah.
You led them right towards us, didn't you? Asked a woman's voice.
Mm-hmm.
What are they? More bandits? So... I forget what this character's name is. Tin.
Yeah, we find out later it's Tin. T-Y-N. She's a light-eyed woman, medium build, medium wiry build. She's wearing trousers, a long coat that almost looked like a dress. She has got a buckle at the waist. She's got a tan glove over her safe hand, and she spoke Alethi without an accent, which is really cool.
Without an accent.
Yeah. Yeah. So she seems pretty capable.
Tavlakev's like, I'm just a humble merchant. The ones chasing us are certainly bandits. So I like how Shallan doesn't waste any time.
Yeah.
She interrupts Tavlakev, doesn't give any oxygen to him to wiggle or anything. She just goes, the ones chasing us are certainly bandits. They've chased us all day.
Like, the DM has asked Tavlakev here for a check.
Bluff check.
For a bluff check or whatever. And bluff. Shallan's like, and you know what? You roll your dice. I'll tell them all the truth.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
The woman curses, raising a spyglass of her own. And she's looking at the deserters, and she says, good equipment. Deserters, I guess, as if this weren't bad enough. Yix, I love this. When Yix stands up, this is perfect. A second figure stands up. Shallan jumps. How had she missed spotting him? He was so close. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that he's just hiding so perfectly.
Yeah, there's another foreigner judging. Not only did they miss one person, they missed two people.
He's got golden hair, so she's trying to make sense of him. There weren't people with light eyes in the Makabaki region, though they had kings, and practically everyone in Erie had light yellow eyes.
Right.
So she's trying to place him, but...
Well, we know by the golden hair that he's from Erie. Anybody that we've ever met that has golden hair, yellow hair, not blonde,
no,
gold hair are from Erie. Even the urchin and the shoemaker were from Erie, but the urchin's hair was so grimy and dirty that the goldness lost its shine or whatever,
Its shine or whatever.
Yeah.
Shallan says, wait, I don't have time to talk, this woman says. We've got two bandit groups to fight. Shallan says, two? You didn't defeat the one that attacked you earlier? We fought them off, but they'll be back soon. The fire was an accident, I think. They were using flaming brands to scare us. They pulled back to let us fight the fires as they didn't want to lose any more of the goods.
That's some smart bandits right there. That's some smart
bandits. I know, right? Yeah. It's actually a pretty good tactic.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll be back. They'll want to be done with us before the storm comes tonight. I offer you my protection, Shallan says. Your protection? The woman says, you may accept me and mine into your camp. I will see to your safety tonight. I will need your service after that to convey me to the Shattered Plains. You are gutsy, whoever you are. You can join our camp, but you'll die there with the rest of us. So it's interesting that
she's got nothing. Shallan at this point has nothing to offer.
But she's still playing.
Yes, dude. Yes.
With nothing in her hand,
yeah.
Still playing.
She's game. Daniel Day-Lewis. She will not fucking break character, no matter what.
A flight of arrows, this is great, flies through the air from that direction, pelting the wagons and caravan workers, and then the screams start. The bandits followed next. They came out of the blackness, attacking. The caravan had fewer than a dozen guards left. Shallan was shivering. This sudden chill was familiar to her.
Mm-hmm.
The coldness of clarity.
I think I took note of this here. Yeah. The sudden chill.
Chill,
was
yeah.
familiar to her. And you know what? It's
right.
familiar to us because we've literally been pointing it out this whole time.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
This chill. The coldness of clarity.
Mm-hmm. It's
Why
like,
is clarity cold? Is it calculated? Is it
maybe? Maybe that's what it is.
Is it unfeeling?
Mm-hmm.
Is there no sense of care?
No emotion. Yeah, no emotion attached to it. Just knowing what to
do. Coldness of clarity.
She knew what to do. Sorry.
Yeah, what she had to do.
She knew what she had to do. She didn't know if it would work, but she saw the solution like lines in a drawing
right.
coming together to transform random scribbles into a picture, into a full picture. I felt like this is like a Sherlock Holmes moment. You know, in those Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes movies where like...
I never saw those. Saw
Robert
those.
Downey Jr. sees
Never saw it.
You never seen those? He like kind of sees what happens before it happens, or like he can kind of like tell... It's almost like
I'm a Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes kind of guy. Or actually a Basil Rathbone if you want to get real bad.
I really like Benedict Cumberbatch as Sherlock. That was a really good series.
I have not seen that series
it's
yet.
It's really, really
good.
I got to
do it. Yeah, I got to do
There's that
it.
Moment that Sherlock or like guys like this have where they can kind of see things play out before they play out. And she sees the solution. She's like, I just got to commit and do it. And I love that. I really like that. And she uses the metaphor of drawing.
It comes up again where I underlined it again, but you're right. Yeah, it's really, really cool that she's seeing art in what unfolds.
Right. Yeah, it's almost like a reverse Thrawn where she sees art and everything, and then he sees art and then sees everything from seeing art. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, it's like a reverse Thrawn. Yeah, it's really cool.
So I like this here. So she tells Tag, basically, I want you to go and fight. And he says, no, I'm not going to throw my life away for your foolishness.
Yeah.
She met his eyes in the near darkness, and he stopped. So he's looking at her.
Yeah, this is Tavlakov. He's telling Tavlakov, you and Tag go fight. She says, Tavlakov, take Tag below and try to help
those
people fight.
So both of them, right?
Yeah.
So she knew... that she was glowing softly. She could feel the storm within.
Mm-hmm.
Do it, she says. She left him and walked to her wagon. Bluth turned this wagon around. So he just gave her a command. But I like how he stood and stopped at her.
Right.
Like something was changing about her.
Yeah, and he almost sees it or whatever, right?
Yeah, she's glowing.
I love how she doesn't even wait to see if he obeys. She just turns around and walks away.
And tells
it's so
Bluth,
boss.
Okay. Now, Bluth had something in his hand. It was a sheet of paper, and she was thinking, well, surely Bluth isn't reading glyphs or anything like that.
Yeah, he doesn't know about glyphs.
She says, Bluth, we need to get moving now. He shakes himself, whips at the chawl to get it going. What are we doing? He asked. Heading south. Into the bandits? Yes. And then he did it. Mm-hmm. As if he was anxious to get all this over with.
Bluth.
The men that were following them, these deserters, were carrying carrying torches and sphere lanterns. Dark expressions on grim men with their weapons drawn, their breastplates. Yeah. Their breastplates or leather jerkins might once have held symbols of allegiance, but she could see where those had been cut or scratched away.
Yeah.
I thought this was interesting because it was unlike what Kaladin was demanding that the others put on. It was kind of like, you know, even though you're coming from, you know, these other positions, mm-hmm. don't forget where you came from. These are important badges to wear.
Yeah.
I want you to wear them, but these men have them all scratched
right.
out.
Yeah, no, I love that too. I thought, because this made me think of our little like thought experiment of, you know, these deserters could have been Cal and his men. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And yep. Cal and his men would have been the ones to cut away their symbols too.
Sure,
but
they would
instead,
have. They would have erased
he
it.
Encouraged yeah. them to keep symbols. Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's really awesome.
Well, because when you have something to fight for, like a symbol or something, maybe there's more of a snap in your step and you're... Mm-hmm. You know, you're more organized or whatever. Like yeah. these are people that have abandoned hope. They're
right.
getting into all kinds of trouble, and they're not really getting ahead. They're just surviving.
Yeah,
and not well.
Yeah.
Right? So these deserters look at her with obvious shock. They had not expected their prey to come to them.
Right.
Her arrival stunned them for a moment. An important moment.
I have a little bit of an anecdote I'd like to tell here.
Sure.
Back in the early aughts, I was working at Tim Hortons, and I worked close enough from where I lived here in Ottawa that I could walk there. But I was I worked evenings. When I first moved to Ottawa, I worked overnights. So I'm walking to work at like 10 at night. My shift is 11 to 7 overnight. And I'm walking down these like suburbs, and I have my headphones in. And then like for some reason, I look behind me and I see a group of four guys coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, what? Like they're a couple of blocks behind me. That's okay. But I'm in this like little suburbary area away from any of the main roads. There's not really that many streetlights around. So I pick up my step a little bit. I look back. And as I look back, I see them like jogging. And then when they see me walk up to them or when they see me look behind, they like pull short a little bit and they slow their walk down. They slow their jog down. And then I started getting really nervous, and I'm like, these guys are going to try to mug me. I have a feeling they see me alone, and they're going to come up to me and either kick my ass or rob me or something. So the only thing I could think to do would be the only way that I've never gotten in a fight before, and I think it's because I just talk to people. You know, I've always been able to talk my way out of a fight.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll just fucking do it. So I turned around, and I started walking towards them. And I got close enough to them that I said, hey, what's up? And they're like, what? And I'm like, it looked like you were running after me. Did you need something? I'm like, and then they're like, well, we saw that you were smoking. And I smoked cigarettes back then. I saw you were smoking. Maybe I thought we could bum one off of you. I'm like, actually, you're in luck. I just bought a new pack. So I gave each one of the guys a cigarette, my lighter to light them up. And then they walked with me the rest of the way. And I know for a fact those guys were not chasing me down to borrow cigarettes.
Right.
I think these guys were going to rob me. And I disarmed wow. them so much by turning around and approaching them. So they're like, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm going to Tim Hortons. I work there overnight, blah, blah, blah. Is there any way we can get some free donuts? And I'm like, if I say no, I'm not cool. So I'm like, I better be cool right now. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? Come by the back door, go through the drive-thru, say it's us, go through the back door, and I'll throw you guys a bag in your trunk of donuts or something. And they're like, cool. This guy's awesome. This guy's cool. So anyways, it ended up like, you know, at midnight or 1 o'clock.
Did you end up giving them free donuts?
Yeah, dude. You know what I did?
You did?
They came through the drive-thru. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm like, hi, welcome to Tim Hortons. Hey, it's us. It's us from earlier. Is this the same guy? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's me. Yeah, I'll go in the back, pop your trunk. So they drive to the back. They pop their trunk. I threw a bag of garbage in there. I had to change the garbages anyways. Full on fucking garbage. There was donuts in there, but it was all the fucking garbage from the sitting area in the front. Tossed in the trunk, closed the trunk. I swear to God, dude, this happened. I threw the trunk down, tapped the trunk. See you guys later. I never fucking saw those guys again. I think about their faces.
That's a crazy they pop
the
story.
Trunk. Yeah, dude. I think about them all the time. They pop the trunk, opened up, and they're like, this is fucking garbage.
Oh, I can't believe that they didn't come back if they were...
I would have thought, you know, for weeks, I thought these guys were going to come back and cost me. They never came back.
Here's the thing. What if you were wrong?
What if I was wrong and they were just nice guys?
And then you give them a bag full of garbage in their car.
And they're like, their story about me is the story they tell their friends. This fucking guy looked like he was going to try to kick our asses, and he offered us cigarettes and then gave us garbage.
And gave us garbage. Anyways, dude. Well, they might have intended to mug you, but they could have been an ugly mug that they were trying to.
Maybe they were. Maybe they wanted to make me ugly mug. Yeah, maybe. That's funny. Yeah, so when I read this earlier, I'm like, holy shit, it's like that time where I almost got mugged.
When you...
Because she just turns around and they're like, what the hell? We've been trying to prey on you.
That's funny, dude. And you're turning around. I can't believe that happened to you. Mm-hmm. I haven't had anything like that happen to me. Like, nothing like that happened.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't even believe it myself, to be honest.
That's crazy. Okay, so... I don't even remember where we are. Bandits. Oh, yeah, right.
They're shocked to see her coming.
So they're shocked to see her coming, and she just cries out to them. She says, bless the storm, Father, that you're here. I need your help desperately. Mm-hmm. And they're just staring at her. Shallan says, bandits. They're attacking our friends in the caravan just two hills over. It's a slaughter. I said I'd seen soldiers back here moving toward the shattered plains. Nobody believed me. Please, you must help. Again, they just stared at her. A little like the mink wandering into the white spine's den and asking where dinner is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great line.
That's a great line.
Bandits, you say? A tall bearded man replies. Shallan leaps down off the wagon and walks toward them. She's noticing that some of these, you know, bandits, these deserters, she notices a woman in breastplate, tall, but too stately. Tangled hair, but she had
No. This is not the woman. This is her reflected in the breastplate. See, it says they and yet by torchlight their weapons gleamed with a spot of rust, and their breastplates were polished to the point where they reflected her features.
Herself.
The woman she glimpsed in one breastplate looked too tall and too stately to be Shallan herself. Instead of tangled hair, she had flowing red locks. Instead of refugee rags, she wore a gown woven with golden embroidery. She had not been wearing a necklace before.
Okay, now I get it.
Right, and when she raised her hand towards the leader of the band,
I thought she was seeing one of them.
This is what she's. We get an idea.
She needs to see this in order to do what she's doing.
Right. And because she's, this is what they see too.
Right.
They see this because she's projecting this image. She's using the stormlight to make herself look like this. Right.
Right. That's so cool.
It is really cool because later Vatha says, hey, you don't look like you looked before.
I know. And she's like,
I just changed or whatever.
You saw what you wanted to see.
Right.
You know,
Brightness,
the man says, we aren't what you think we are. No, Shallan replied, you aren't what you think yourselves to be.
That's awesome. What a great line.
Yeah. Those around her in the firelight regarded her with eager stares, yet the tempest within her spurred to her to action and urged her to greater confidence. What is your name? So she cuts him off. He's about to speak, and again, we get, you know, her asking, "What's your name?"
Mm-hmm. It's all about names. Yeah, it's important.
It's all about names. I'm called Vatha, or Vatha. It was a Voran name like Shallan's, and I'll decide what to do with you later. Gaz, take this one, and so we get Gaz.
He's back, baby.
He's back. He's with Vatha. What would you do, Vatha? Shallan asked, or said in a loud voice, to erase the past? He looked back toward her, face lit on one side by primal torchlight. Would you protect instead of kill, if you had the choice? Would you rescue instead of rob, if you could do it over again? Good people are dying as we speak here. You can stop it. Those dark eyes of his seemed dead. We can't change the past, but I can change your future.
Mm-hmm.
We are wanted men. Yes, I came here wanting men.
Isn't that
hoping to?
That's amazing.
Hoping to find men.
That's an amazing line. We are wanted men. Yes, I came here wanting men.
Right.
It's so great. It's so awesome.
Hoping to find men. You are offered the chance to be soldiers again. Come with me. I will see to it you have new lives. Those lives start by saving instead of killing. Vatha snorted in derision. His face looked unfinished in the night, rough like a sketch. See, this is, I love this. She is seeing him unfinished.
Right.
He is unfinished.
Right.
A sketch, mm-hmm. an outline.
What could she make him?
Right.
Right.
Where is his too fine hat?
Right.
I gotta put a nice hat on him. You'll look so much nicer.
Oh, he's so nice with his
bath.
Hat.
Everyone needs a bath and a vest.
Yeah. So then everyone needs a bath,
A bath and a vest. Okay. Bright Lords have failed us in the past, he says. Listen, Shallan says. Listen to the screams. Give yourself another chance. If you return with me, I will see that your crimes are erased. I promise it to you. By all that I have, by the Almighty himself, you can start over. Start over as heroes.
It's awesome. It's so great. So a couple of points here. I don't know if I ever really thought about this the other times I've read it, but there's a part mm-hmm. of me that thinks that maybe the screams are not real. Listen to the screams. The Pietus sounds reach them from behind her. Shouts for help. Workers, both men and women from the caravan, dying, haunting sounds. Shallan was surprised, despite having pointed them out, how well the sounds carried. How much they sounded like pleas for help.
Right.
Is it possible that it's part of what she's doing? That the sounds and screams for help are not actually real?
It could be that, or it could be just, you know, complete serendipity. That it's just
it could be echoing.
You know, it's just a perfect moment where it's like at that precise moment, you're getting those screams and they're genuine.
I also had a thought that maybe it could be pattern. Pattern can imitate sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe to drive her point home, Pattern is making it sound like there's screams.
Has he aided her in that kind of way though?
Not really, at all. I don't know why. When I read that, I thought she said it says Shallan was surprised, right? Despite pointing them out how well the sound carried. So I just for some reason I feel like maybe this could be part of the illusion too. I don't know.
Right. Don't know. Yeah. Could be. I love her little speech to them. It's great.
Oh, it's amazing.
What was she doing? She keeps thinking to herself, I love it. Just almost like Kaladin. What was she doing? This was crazy.
Yeah.
Vatha looked away from her again, and she knew she'd lost him. But it wasn't him that she gained.
Right. Who was it?
It was everyone else.
It started.
I love the fact that she was focusing on him.
Right.
And then she could see that, you know what? I'm not reaching him on this. I'm not convincing him.
It's Gaz. But everybody else, dude.
Nope.
It's Gaz. Right. Gaz is the first one to say, fuck it, I'm going.
Right. Nobody moved. Shallan had focused only on him. This was Vatha.
Mm-hmm.
Not the other two dozen or so men who had drawn in close, torches raised high. They looked at her with open faces, and she saw very little of the lust she'd noticed before.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they bore wide eyes, longing, reacting to the distant yells. Men fingered their uniforms where the insignias had been.
Yeah.
Like wanting to have something to fight for.
Why aren't we those men? Why can't we be those men still?
Others looked down at spears and axes, weapons of their service perhaps not so long ago. You fools are considering this, Vatha says. One man, a short fellow with a scarred face
and an eye patch. Yeah.
Nodded his head. I wouldn't mind starting over, he muttered. Storms, but it would be nice. I saved a woman's life once, said another. I felt a hero for weeks. Toasts in the tavern, warmth, damnation, we're dying out here. We left to get away from their oppression, Vatha said. This is so what Kaladin would have said.
Mm-hmm.
And what have we done with our freedom, Vatha? A man asked from back at the group. Storm it, I'm going, said a short man with the eye patch.
So it's Gaz.
Jogging up the hill. Others broke off and followed him. Shallan turned, hands clasped in front of her, as nearly the entire group took off in a charge. Shallan was left with Vatha and two other men. Idiots, everyone. They're not idiots for wanting to be better than they are, Shallan says. he snorted, looking her over. She had an immediate flash of fear. Moments ago, this man was ready to rob her, and probably worse. He didn't make any moves toward her, though his face looked even more threatening now than most of the...
Torches were gone.
That more of the torches that had gone. Mm-hmm. Who are you? He said, he asked. Shallan Devar. Well, brightness, Shallan, he said. I hope, for your sake, you can keep your word. Come on, boys. Let's see if we can keep those fools alive. and he leaves with the others.
Yeah. This is awesome here because she doesn't only just win over these men. She completely and wholeheartedly wins over Bluth. Because Bluth is like, yeah, let's do it, right?
He's
like,
yeah.
Bluth stood up on his wagon.
He's standing up. He's,
yeah, face shocked.
Oh, yeah, he's got
whooped.
A fist
he's
in
like,
the air.
Yeah. Yeah, he's totally won over.
Well, her speech was great.
Yeah, it's good speech.
I love this. Like, her job is now done.
Right.
Like, she's now put in a full day's work.
Right. Right.
She's exhausted.
She really is, yeah.
Drained like a punctured wineskin. She walks to the wagon. Exhaustion spren are rising around her, little swirls of dust in the air. Salas, the first moon, made a violet disk in the center of the cluster of bright white stars. She can hear the screams and yelling. Would the deserters be enough? She didn't know how many of the bandits were. But she'd be useless out there, only getting in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, she takes a seat, takes out her sketchbook, begins to sketch the glyph for a prayer of hope. And Pattern pipes up at this point, says, they listened. You changed them. I can't believe it worked, Shallan said. Ah, you are good with lies.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, that was a figure of speech. It seems impossible that they'd actually listen to me, hardened criminals. You are lies and truth. They transform. What does that mean? It was hard to sketch with only the light of Salas to see by, but she did her best.
I love this
you
part.
You spoke of one surge earlier, Pattern says. Light weaving, the power of light. But you have something else. The power of transformation. Soul casting? Shallan asks. I didn't soul cast anyone. And yet you transformed them. And yet.
So
Shallan
awesome.
Finished her prayer, then held it up, noticing that a previous page had been ripped out of the notebook. Who had done that? She couldn't burn the prayer, but she didn't think the Almighty would mind. She pressed it close to her chest and closed her eyes, waiting until the shouts from below quieted.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the chapter.
This whole idea that she soul casted these men from criminals into honorable men is fucking cool, man. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's like, no, I didn't soul cast them. And he's like, and yet you transformed
yet
them,
you
which
transform
is what,
them.
What soul casting is.
You soul cast from one thing into another.
Right. It's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, it's crazy cool. Yeah, it's hard to pick a highlight because there's so many fantastic bits. Like, you know, the fact that she... What's the highlight? The fact that she gave an awesome speech. The fact that she's soul casting. The fact that she's looking at things.
There's a lot
unfinished
of it.
Art. She's seen.
Gaz is back.
So
Bluth,
many.
Yeah. Bluth buys in. You know, but I have a very specific highlight.
What's yours?
At one point here, when she first goes up to them.
Yep.
She says. They're attacking our friends in the caravan two hills over.
Right.
It's a slaughter.
Right.
I said I'd seen soldiers back here moving towards the shattered plains.
Mm-hmm.
This entire time, we've been referring to this group of men as deserters.
Deserters,
but
yeah.
But she calls them soldiers.
Soldiers, yeah.
Right? Not a slaver, but a tradesman.
No.
Not a wagon, but a carriage.
But a
not
carriage,
a deserter,
yeah.
But a soldier.
But a soldier, yeah.
Right, so yeah. She's used the same trick she's used this whole time by reframing things, using a different perspective, and showing these men, you're not deserters, you're soldiers,
right.
And you're going to do the
right
thing.
Well, she knew, I think she knew that by calling them that was going to bring out the best of them.
For sure.
She couldn't possibly have pulled a light eyes maneuver where she just was, you know, insulting them and saying,
right.
I'm giving you the privilege of,
right.
of coming
commanding
to fight for me.
Them to do it. Yeah.
Commanding them. That would not have worked.
No, it wouldn't have at all.
It would not have worked. it just wouldn't have.
So like this she's did. Doing what she did with Bluth by drawing a really nice version of Bluth. This is how I see you, Bluth. She's right. doing that with words. I see you as soldiers. You're not deserters. You're not something to be despised. You're something to be allotted and you're heroes. You can be, and that's what she says a little later, right? She says, you can be right. heroes. Give yourself another chance.
We can be heroes.
Just for one day. Yeah, this is, what a great chapter. That's an awesome chapter.
Yeah, it's an amazing chapter.
So yeah, we have one little chapter here left. 21, chapter 21.
21, yeah.
Ashes.
Ashes. Ashes to ashes, funk to funky.
What's that?
We know Major Tom's a junkie, strung out. And, come on. This is, maybe there's a Bowie theme here. There's,
maybe.
We had heroes. You could be heroes.
Yeah.
Or we could be heroes. Now we've got ashes to ashes. I don't know. Was there
maybe a little a later, Bowie? Dalinar and Navani will go, golden years. Because they're in their golden years. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Mediation, yes. We get a stanza here. Mediation form, made for peace, it's said. Form of teaching and consolation. When used by the gods, though, it became instead a form of lies and desolation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about
perfect
that?
Example, I think, of what the listeners fear as they... It sounds like the gods have corrupt something that is meant for peace and teaching into something of lies and desolation. And desolation is a key word here because we've heard this term before.
Right. The desolation. Yeah.
So.
Well, so mediation too, like, what do you make of that form? Like we're finding out of all these different forms here.
Diplomatic, like, type of.
Diplomacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, when gods used it.
It's really, these forms are really just descriptions of where you've allotted your skill points, really, in a D&D character.
Like, yeah, more or less.
Yeah, what are you proficient in? I'm proficient in mediation.
So this, again, just so we're getting to it here, we've just had triple. This was a hat trick.
This was triple Shallan.
This was triple Shallan. This was a triple decker Shallan ice cream, like bam.
Yeah,
bam,
I'm really happy it worked out this way because these three chapters really do go well together.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
Shallan closed Bluth's eyes. Not looking at the ripped out hole in his torso, the bloody entrails. Around her, workers salvaged what they could from the camp. People groaned, though some of those groans cut off as Vatha executed the bandits one by one.
Sucks that Bluth's dead.
It does.
I really like his character. Every time I read it, it always kind of shocks me a little bit because I think, oh, maybe he gets away with, you know, Tavlakov or you know, I always kind of forget that he dies. Like,
I almost want her to put on the hat as like a little
too fine hat.
Yeah, a little too fine hat.
Maybe it's too fine for her.
It probably is. So what separates the heroes from the villains? One speech in the night. I like that thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's like looking back on it, like not really sure how it worked, right? Like
right. These bandits. She's thinking these bandits could have easily been him and his men.
Right.
Shallan thought, looking back down at Bluth, his dead face lit by the fires. Yeah. And then what was the difference between heroes and villains? One speech that she gave.
It's crazy, right?
Bluth wasn't the only casualty of the assault. Vatha had lost 7 soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
They had killed over twice as many bandits, and they were exhausted. Shallan notices something out of Bluth's jacket, and she picks it up. Turns out it was a picture that she drew of him as she saw him.
Right, it's that picture.
With the, exactly.
Hmm.
Not as he was, but as she imagined he might have once been. A soldier in an army, in a crisp uniform, eyes forward, rather than looking down all the time. A hero.
He died as one too, right?
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong, she whispered. You were a fine way to restart my collection, Bluth. fight well for the Almighty in your sleep, old one. There's that transience thing I'm thinking.
Right.
I'm, you know, picking up on.
Right.
Now, it could be just, it's religion. It could be just that. But it could be more to it.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely, this is definitely part of her faith, though, right? Because her religion, Vorn religion, assumes that men who die in heroic ways will fight in the tranquil halls to reclaim them, right?
It's the only way I can keep Yasna alive is if I keep thinking that there's a transient place and that she will persist in some other place.
Okay. I see that all your thoughts are informed by that.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. So
they're burning corpses. You know what else? Burning corpses makes me think that maybe Yasna's still alive. I'm just saying that every point.
Are you mocking me?
A little bit.
Okay. I'll take it. I'm keeping the hope though. I've got to have my hope.
Yeah, you're allowed hope.
Okay, so Parshmen are putting the corpses in the fires for burning. So it's a very, grotesque sort of cleanup job that's happening here. Dozens are dead, including most of the caravan's guards.
Yeah.
So now they are weakened.
Right.
So she went looking immediately for the caravan leaders. She gets a hold of this scout that she had seen before that we now know is called Tin.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking to an older bearded man in a felt cap.
Right. Named
and
Macabre.
He says to her, yeah, Macabre. He says to her, and here is our savior, Brightness. The winds themselves cannot speak of your majesty or the wonder of your timely arrival. Shallan didn't feel majestic. She felt tired and sore and grungy.
She felt grungy.
Yeah.
If she was grungy, hold on, here's a joke. I got a joke.
A little bit of Nirvana here.
Oh, no, not Nirvana. Fuck Nirvana.
I'm thinking,
she'd be Pearl,
fucked?
Pearl Jam.
Sacrilege.
Dude, Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam, come on.
Jam.
Because of the jam. Come on.
Jeez.
Can't say grunge without Nirvana.
Yes,
come
of course,
on,
but
jam.
In this joke, in this moment, jam.
Screaming Trees.
Stormlight Archive, Capsule,
all right,
Bread and
Pearl
Jam.
Pearl Jam, fine, Pearl Jam.
Come on.
You know it's Pearl Jam. She never ate Pearl Jam, like jam made of pearls, come on.
No, but
horrible.
I mean... Hold on. Let's ruminate on this for a second. Is there another grunge era band that would fit better in this joke moment as Pearl Jam? Is there another one?
Yeah. Shallan in Chains. I don't know. I mean, Pearl Jam, sure, Jam. Okay, you get the Jam, but the Pearl, come on.
You can't have the Jam without the Pearl in the joke.
All right.
There's no Dinosaur Jr.
Listen,
that doesn't work. Mudhoney doesn't work.
Mud.
You know, like there's Screaming Rock
she's
Buzz.
She's feeling grungy. I like to picture her in a Nirvana t-shirt right now.
Okay,
that's
cool.
All I'm saying.
Yeah, the yellow smile one?
Yeah, of course.
I get it. It looks cool.
Okay.
She'd probably look really hot in it, to be honest.
She probably would.
Yeah.
Which is why I liked it.
All right.
But you got to have her in a Pearl Jam shirt. Okay, fine. So she's got a Pearl Jam shirt on.
Okay, yeah.
You are the caravan owner, she says. Macabre is my name. You have met my associate, Tin. She's the head of our guards.
Right.
Both her soldiers and my goods here have dwindled from tonight's encounters. She didn't know quite what to make of Tin, a woman who dressed like a soldier and wore a sword around her waist.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, eh? Coming from Shallan, she's like, I'm not really quite sure I'm comfortable with this.
Because women normally wear their traditional dresses and stuff, right?
I've been telling Macabre of your offer, Tin says, earlier on the hill. Macabre chuckles. Offer, she calls it. My associate is under the impression that it was really a threat. These mercenaries obviously work for you.
Yeah.
We are wondering what your intention is for this caravan. Shallan says, the mercenaries didn't work for me before, but they do now. It took a little persuasion. Tin raises an eyebrow. That must have been some mighty fine persuasion, Brightness. Shallan Devar, all I ask... gives her name. All I ask of you is what I said to Tin before. Accompany me to the Shattered Plains. Surely your soldiers can do that, Macabre says. You don't need our assistance.
This is a really great point coming up here that she thinks.
I love this. This could be my highlight, actually. I want you here to remind the soldiers what they've done.
Yeah. And there's, we have evidence of it later on in the chapter at the very end when the men are starting to be thanked by all the people that work in the caravan. They right. seem to light up almost like they breathed sure. in stormlight. They seem to be glowing because of the yeah. good deed they did. And she needs these people to stick around because she doesn't changing. Trust these men to forget how good they were in this moment. It's really fucking good.
Her instinct said that if they were reminded more of civilization, the better off she would be.
Mm-hmm.
They are soldiers, she says, again reinforcing that point.
Yeah.
They have no idea how to properly convey a light-eyed woman in comfort, but you, however, have nice wagons and goods aplenty.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't tell from my humble aspect, I am in dreadful need of a little luxury. I'd rather not arrive at the Shattered Plains looking like a vagabond. Tin says we could use her soldiers. My own force is reduced to a handful. Then we shall make an accord, Macab says, smiling. In my gratitude for my life, I shall see you cared for with new apparel and fine foodstuffs for the duration of our travels together. You and your men will ensure our safety the rest of the way, and then we will part, nothing more owed to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed, Shallan says. I shall allow you to join me, your caravan unto mine. Your caravan.
I shall allow you
I know,
to join
right.
me.
Me, right.
Fuck yeah.
Your caravan. Yes. And your authority, then, I assume? You expected otherwise? No, I suppose not. I suppose not.
And then he asks about the slavers, right?
Yeah, and yeah, and what of those? Speaking about Tavlakiv and Tag, those are mine. I will deal with them. Just keep them at the back of the caravan, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Grimy business. I'd rather not our caravan stink of those wares. Either way, you'd best be about gathering your people. There will be a high storm soon. With our lost wagons, we have no extra shelter. I just love that exchange.
Yeah, it's great.
So good, dude.
It's good. She's carrying herself in that air of high just, lady.
Yeah,
and just,
she's killing it.
Yeah.
Like, she's just killing it.
But we know, well, that, we know asks, that it's taking a lot out of her, too, because she's fucking exhausted. And she just, it's earlier in this chapter, she says she just wants to pass out, but she has to continue playing the role.
Right. So Vatha is now near her, and he says, some of my men are dead. They died doing a very good work, Shallan says,
mm-hmm.
and the families of those who lived will bless them for their sacrifice. You don't look like you did before, he, looking at her up and down.
He grabs her arm.
Did my
here.
Eyes mistake me? Yeah, forcefully, too.
Yes. Like, I just like want to point that out. Her. Yeah, he grabs her arm here.
I saw a queen in the darkness. Now I see a child. Perhaps you saw what your conscience needed you to see, Shallan said, tugging unsuccessfully on her arm. She blushed. My men have done worse things than this. Out in the wilderness, we took. We killed. You think one night absolves us? You think one night will stop the nightmares?
That's telling Shallan, right there, eh? The nightmares?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit of a wretch position.
It's a little bit of a,
you know,
I think, like, it's showing regret for the,
you can't remove, you know, this.
He's like, saying, we did things. Do you think it would take away the nightmares? Like, they clearly don't like the things they've done. They're having nightmares about it.
Right, you know? Well, just a sense of being unredeemable.
Right.
It's just, that's a wretched place to be. Mm-hmm. You might as well, like, you're out there surviving, doing these horrible things.
Yeah.
You might as well just throw yourself in the chasm.
Yeah. This part coming up here is fucking cool.
If we go with you to the Shattered Plains, we're dead men, Vatha says. We'll be hanged the moment we return. My word, your word means nothing, woman, he shouts.
And his grip tightens on her, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You should let her go, Pattern says calmly. And he's on Vatha's back.
He's crawled up uniform. The dude's back, man.
Who said that? I heard nothing, Shallan says. You should let her go, Pattern repeated. Vatha looks around again, then back to Shallan, who met his gaze with a level stare. She even forced out a smile. He let go of her and wiped his hand on his trousers. Isn't that interesting? He's spooked.
Yeah, he's totally spooked.
He's spooked. Like, he lets go of her and wipes his hand as if, like, he's cursed, like, he's by, like, touching,
yeah,
her.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That one will be trouble, Shallan says as he leaves. Is this a figure of speech? Pattern asks. No, I mean what I said.
I like this.
Well, I like this too. He says, curious, because I think he already is trouble. And she says, true. Yeah. I know, that's great. I love that. Yeah. I love it. So he asks conversationally, "Were you in on it from the start?" "In on what?" Shallan asked, wearily, shooing Tag away so she could talk to Tavlakov in private. "Bluth's plan."
Yeah, this
Please,
is Tavlakov here. Tavlakov thinks something was up.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a really weird, you know, thing. But
it's the only I understand where he's coming from because he can't understand what just happened.
No. No, he doesn't get it.
Right.
Like, well, Bluth, he wasn't there.
Bluth
like,
gets
I don't
it.
Think he was Bluth, he there to witness the
No, because he remember
speech?
She said
no,
she
he
went
wasn't.
She said Tavlakov
and
Tag
go
ahead.
And
help
yeah.
them. Bluth right. and I are going to go back. Right. Bluth understood because Bluth was there to see her do it.
Bluth saw it, yeah.
Yeah.
Tavlakov says, well, obviously he was in league with the deserters. That first night when he came running back to the camp, he'd met with them and promised to let them take us if he could share in the wealth. That's why they did not immediately kill the two of you when you went to speak with them. Oh, Shallan asks. And if that were the case, why did Bluth come back and warn us that night? Why did he flee with us instead of just letting his friends kill us right then? Well, perhaps he only met with a few of them, Tavlakov said. Yes, they lit fires on that hillside in the night to make us think there were more. And then his friends went to gather a larger crowd. Storms, that doesn't make any sense. But how? Why? So he's actually thinking about his own theory and then it's falling apart.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like okay, I'm going to admit something here. The reason why I'm kind of, you know, wanting to cover this a little bit is because I feel like it's myself coming up with theories about the Stormlight Archives. And it's just like, I've got my theories and I've got my guesses and I'm probably wrong about every single thing. Like, I've been wrong about everything.
Oh, dude, that is so funny. That's so funny.
So, I'm connecting to Tavlakov here because I'm like, this doesn't add up. Well, I've got a theory. Well, the theory must have been that you guys were in cahoots.
Yeah.
There's got to be an explanation. Cahoots.
Wait a minute.
There's cahoots.
Maybe Navani is Adelin and Renarin's mother, and maybe she's not Yasna's mother, and maybe Gavilar was having sex with his own brother, Dalinar, and...
And I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you,
pesky kids. Yeah,
pesky kids.
Yeah, yeah. I love that dude. That is the funniest thing. Literally, Tavlakov's theory falls apart as he says it. And
yeah,
to
he
compare
falls
yourself,
apart, and then I'm just like,
to
aw,
compare
like
yourself,
that's me.
Oh,
that's
so funny.
Me.
Oh my god, I want to give you a hug right now. That is so funny, dude.
Well, thanks, bro. So it falls apart, and his theory falls apart, and he says, Storms, that doesn't make any sense. But how? Why? We should be dead. The Almighty preserved us, Shallan says.
Yeah.
Your Almighty is a farce. You should hope he is. For if he's not, then damnation itself awaits for men like you. She inspects the cages, and there are five slaves that are in there, huddled together.
Mm-hmm.
These are mine now, referring to the slaves. What? He stands up. You, I saved your life, you oily little man. Okay, gotta say, that's also, I want that on a t-shirt. You oily little man.
You oily little man.
That's a great insult, you oily little man. Yeah. Come on, that's like my favorite thing ever.
That's
you
awesome.
Oily, I love that response. Yeah. You, I saved your life, you oily little man. You will give me these slaves in payment, dues in recompense for my soldiers protecting you and your worthless life. This is robbery, he says. This is justice. If it bothers you, submit a grievance with the king in the Shattered Plains once we arrive.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the Shattered Plains. You have someone else to convey you now. Brightness, I'm headed south as I originally intended. Then you'll do so without these.
She has her own keys. Remember the keys he gave her?
Yeah. Takes out the keys. You will give me their writs of slavery, and the Stormfather help you. If not everything is in order, Tavlakov, I'm very good at spotting a forgery.
Yeah.
And in fact, I love the next line. She's like, she's never even seen a writ of slavery.
Yeah.
And wouldn't know how to tell one if it was faked, you know, even if she had one. Dude, I mean, come on.
She just keeps selling it, man.
Dude, it's amazing. I love, love, love all of this that she's doing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Shallan says, you may run if you wish.
This is to the the slaves.
Yeah, this to the slaves. I will not hunt you. I need servants. However, and I will pay you well, 6 fire marks a week, if you agree to put 5 of them toward paying your own slave debt. 1 if you don't. One of the men cocks his head. So we take away the same amount either way? What kind of sense does that make? The best kind.
The best you kind.
You have three wagons, but only two drivers.
This is back to Tavlakov, right? She's saying this to Tavlakov now.
Yeah. You will sell me the third wagon. She wouldn't need the chul. Sell the wagon? Bah! Why not just steal it from me? Stop being a child, Tavlakov. Do you want my money or not? 5 sapphire bromes, he snaps. And it's a steal at that price. Don't you argue otherwise. So she has the money.
Yeah.
And Tavlakov says, you can't have my parchmen. You can keep them.
Yeah, she's like, I don't need those. I think they're going to turn on you eventually, dude. They're monsters.
Well, so that's what I want to bring up here.
Yeah.
Throughout all this exchange, it's not that Shallan is without maybe, not having the right sense of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be it right there.
Right.
She hangs on to this Yasna's conviction. She's already kind of bought into it.
Yeah.
You don't even have the proof yet.
She's bought in much into Yasna's thing that she's like literally, it would be like Yasna standing in front of Tavlakov dealing with him right now. What would Yasna do? She's fully embraced the what would Yasna do?
Well, she would, I think Yasna would still have continued the research and then reserved judgment.
Right.
But it seems that Shallan is really buying into it.
She's you're saying that she's taking Yasna's words for complete truth.
Yes, she could totally use the parchment right now. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Yeah. Continuing her journey, you don't know what's ahead. There could be more bandits, more dangers. What, right. You don't want some parchment servants to facilitate things along the caravan? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. She could totally use them.
But I don't think you can go back after knowing the possibilities of parchment being potential void bringers. You can't go back after that.
I know, but you take things at face value, too. Like, they're not posing any immediate threat. They haven't done anything to give you any evidence
for
of that.
Sure. And besides, you're totally right. You're totally right.
All she has is conjecture. It's just conjecture.
It's true. It's very true. You're right. But you know what? She doesn't really need them. She's got soldiers and she's got servants.
I know.
And wagons to take her, so she doesn't really need them.
Meh. I guess not.
Yeah.
There I go again, reading into it.
You read it into it. That's okay. You read it. You read it up.
The former deserters, get this, the former deserters, gathered in front of the flames and looked at the prayer. So this was a, they had a piece. Now, did they produce it themselves? One of the dark-eyed women from the caravan stepped up, holding out a sheet of paper to a former deserter.
Right.
He took it, scratched at his beard. He was the shorter, one-eyed man. Who'd Gaz. Spoken during her speech. This is Gaz. He held up a sheet to the others. It was a prayer made from familiar runes, but not one of mourning, as Shallan would have expected. It was a prayer of thanks.
This is a way for the caravan workers to say thank you. Like, we want to pray to you with these prayers, and we want to say thank you to you. And this is what we talked about earlier, that, like, this is why Shallan's keeping these two groups together, is to remind the soldiers who they are now.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So they have this prayer. Then they turned and looked outward, seeing, as if for the first time, the two dozen standing there and watching, silent in the night. Some had tears on their cheeks. Some had held the hands of their children. Shallan had not noticed the children before, but was not surprised to see them. Hmm. Caravan workers would often spend their lives traveling, and of course their families were there. Shallan stopped just before the caravaneers, mostly hidden in the darkness. The deserters didn't seem to know how to react, surrounded by that constellation of thankful eyes and tearful appreciation.
Yeah.
Finally, they burned the prayer. Shallan bowed her head as did most of those watching. She left them standing taller, watching the ashes of that prayer rise toward the Almighty. How cool is that?
So great. Yeah, it's so awesome.
And that's your title, The Ashes. I can't rename this chapter. Come on.
Yeah.
Ashes. It's the prayer. I mean, come on. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
So way too many highlights I don't know what to pick. I don't know what to pick on this one.
My highlight for this one is Bluth. Bluth. I'm going to honor this dude. I wish he lived. He would have been loyal to her, like fiercely loyal. And I also like the idea that this isn't a highlight, but I like the idea that Shallan acquired the leadership feat here. Like she decided her character, the person who plays her in the game decided to take the leadership feat, and she just acquired a whole bunch of followers like out of nowhere. Right. So yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think my highlight, if I had to pick it, might be that she says that, you know, Bluth was a fine place to start my collection again.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just so good.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And the prayer going up in ashes at the end is also very good.
You also mentioned in covering it that you might have picked I Want You Here to Remind the Soldiers What They've Done as a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, great chapters.
A good trio of chapters. This is a really good part of
Amazing.
The book.
Amazing.
Yeah. Shallan does some good stuff in here.
I think we can cover the artwork.
Want to cover it? We'll cover it next time. Yeah, I think it goes for the next time,
Perfect.
I think. But you know what goes for the next time, but you know what goes for this time? It's the info dump.
Info dump.
Info. Give it to me. A dumpity dump. So a couple of quick things here in the info dump.
Mm-hmm.
Shallan's oldest brother, Helleran, is known as Helleran. And Balat is known as Tet Balat.
Yes.
But when we first meet Balat in the interlude, and then subsequently later when Shallan is communicating him through Spanreed, she refers to him as Non-Balat. Not Tet Balat. Not sure exactly what that means. I don't necessarily want to give up the ghost. I can't really remember if we've covered what non and tet means.
Don't know if we have that yet.
Right. So I just wanted to point it out quickly because it is a shift. This is 5.5 years ago, and the time we saw Balat in the interlude and communicating with the Spanreed was after this 5.5 years ago. So something ends up changing. A latu, a skirt-like garment of silk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very traditional Vaden clothes. She said that in the parts that his grandfathers, so her, like, you know, her dad's, like, fathers and grandfathers would have wore a mink coat thing around with it, but he doesn't do that. So he sticks to tradition, but also kind of maybe more modern without this, like, old stuffy mink around the collar. The other thing here I have is parchment coloring. The coloring, we don't really talk too much about this, but I wanted to mention it because it was mentioned in the book. The parchment that work for her father, two of them are red on black marbled skin, and one of them is red on white marbled skin. So there are these variations of how parchment listeners, Parshendi, all kind of look, right? Mm-hmm. So the last thing I have is Salas, the first moon. We know about Noman, the second moon, I think it is. And so this is another name we get, Salas, the first moon, which is a violet disc. And it lays in the center of a cluster of bright stars, which is really, really cool. I like the imagery here where Shallan is like Salas. She is now in the cluster of a bunch of bright stars that she just illuminated through kind of turning these men into honorable soldiers. So it's really neat. That's all I have for the info dump. That means that's all we have for the episode. We will be covering chapters 22 and 23 next episode. Super excited for us to continue. These chapters just get better and better as we go. If you want to join in the fun and you want to get all the bonus material and you want to be part of the conversation on Discord, if you want access to our Ugly Mugs episodes that we do on the weekends where we kind of talk about the week that was, you can go to patreon.com/heroesof and sign up for any one of the different tiers that are up there. You'll be able to take a look and check it out. If you want to reach out to us, you can do so at heroesofacathra@gmail.com. You can also go to Twitter @heroesofone, or the best place you can find us is the Storm Pod on Instagram. I'm always lurking on there looking at fan art. I just love all the fan art that we feature and that we see. It's just amazing. That's it for the episode, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We love you very much. And until next time.
Take care, everybody.
The Storm Pod is brought to you by Heroes of.
Music and theme song by Jack Forrest Productions. Additional music by Jason Moray. Produced by our wonderful Patreon team and the heroes of Akathra.